And good morning. You are listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Today is Monday, August 24th, 2015. This is not the voice of CEO Rob Allen, but it's the voice of another critical member of Sitka Community Hospital, Doug Osborne, Director of Health Promotion. How are you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing well.
What was your last text from Rob Allen?
He was delayed by weather, so he's flying out of Ketchikan this afternoon.
Okay.
So I'm sure he sends his regards, but he won't be with us in person.
Regards to Rob Allen. Safe travels to him.
Yes.
And thank you so much for filling in his shoes in his stead for this interview.
My pleasure.
And you have some exciting news to share that Rob was going to share as well. Mm-hmm. What is taking place today at Sitka Community Hospital?
Well, today is the day that the hospital is going tobacco-free. And so this has been months in the work, but today is the actual official day where we go and adopt this new policy. And we're just thanking everybody for their cooperation as we make this change.
What does that mean to be tobacco-free as a hospital?
Well, in its simplest form, we got a map of an aerial from the hospital that has a property line, and it just asks that people smoke outside of that. So you'll see when you go to the hospital, there's a map, and it has what our boundary line is. And the reason we're doing it is really just to protect people's right to breathe clean air and their need to clean breathe air, to breathe clean air. So it just means that if you're going to smoke, please do it outside of that boundary.
Okay. And what is a... the tobacco cessation, what does that work like in Sitka nowadays? When you think about tobacco in Sitka, mm-hmm. what is your sense of the community's status?
Well, it's interesting. I think it was much more an issue years ago. Mm-hmm. It was 10 years ago that there was a vote to do a clean indoor air ordinance to protect people's workplaces. And it was much more of a hot topic and much more discussed. And it has sort of simmered. You don't hear about tobacco as much. We hear about stress and we hear about emergency preparedness. Certainly the tragedies last week remind us of that. We hear about physical activity, nutrition, some of the other things in public health, but tobacco not so much. However, there was a bit of data last week that said that 1 in 5 Alaskans are still using tobacco. So if you think about 1 in 5, that's still hundreds and hundreds of people that are struggling with this very tough addiction. So it's still happening, but it's just talked about a lot less. So in terms of helping people to smoke, the two things that data would support is clean air ordinances, so making it more restrictive and easier to breathe, and then also tobacco taxes, and that just passed in July. So those are the two things that will reduce your actual number of smokers. So for example, let me give you an example of another tobacco-free campus, the Fine Arts Camp. They have 20 acres, and they said, we're going to be tobacco-free. And so they're saying, you can smoke, but just not on this. When it becomes harder to smoke and easier to quit, that's a good dynamic for smokers. So when people think about how do you help smokers, a lot of times they'll think about cessation. We do have a program at the hospital, and I'll talk about that in a minute. But really, the way to help smokers, and I'm talking as a former tobacco addict, is to make it as expensive and restrictive as possible. And that's how you really bring the numbers down. That's how you really support people to quit. Make it easy to breathe and easy to quit and a little bit harder to use.
Where is the actual boundary? Can you describe it?
Yeah, it would be our parking lot and all the area around our hospital. So it's different. You'd really have to look at the map that we'll provide, but you'll see where the signs are. So basically, when you come onto our property, you'll see the signs and it'll say, welcome to our tobacco-free campus. And that's the area that we're looking at. Mm-hmm. And again, the reason is in this process, we did a lot of written comments with staff and got a lot of feedback and had some discussion. And one of the big particular things you want to be concerned about with secondhand smoke is asthma. It doesn't take a lot to trigger an asthma attack. And I had multiple employees who said, yeah, I have asthma and it really, really affects me. Secondhand smoke does. I mean, there's no safe level of exposure. So we're all affected. But it's not just an irritant or something we don't like to smell. It's something that has a real health consequence mm-hmm. in the short term and then in the long term.
You know, the television show Mad Men, that's set in the 60s, I'm pretty sure it depicts doctors smoking while they're treating patients. So clearly hospitals have come a long way.
Have come a long way. If you think about, I mentioned 20% of Alaskans now. Well, if you roll the clock back 60 years where it was almost half of adults, and mm-hmm. you could smoke anywhere. You could smoke in airplanes, you could smoke in schools, in hospitals, doctors smoking. So we have come a long way, but there's still a ways to go.
And what I'm imagining, too, remembering my own experiences in hospitals, in stressful situations where a loved one was mm-hmm. sick, uncles of mine going out for a cigarette break to relieve their stress of being in those situations.
Right.
That you know, creates a need, and smoking, I'm wondering if taking that need away will make it more difficult for people to deal with some of the stressful things that are maybe happening at the hospital.
That has come up, and it certainly is a very stressful place when a loved one gets a diagnosis or when there's been an unexpected injury. So it's a very stressful place. And a person could still smoke. In fact, I walked from the ER entrance to where you'd be off campus, and it was 50 steps. So it's not that far. It's just far enough that if somebody comes into the ER, they don't have to go through somebody else's smoke. And that's the problem that we had. I had one patient who said they came out from our ER going into an ambulance. It was late at night. And he said, I didn't remember a lot from that night, but one thing I remember was a cloud of smoke. And that's what we want to avoid. So yeah, if you're stressed out and you want to have a cigarette, we're not saying don't do that. We're just saying don't do it near a hospital. It just does not fit near a hospital. Okay. Especially near an entrance. So, yeah, you could walk 50 steps and you would be off campus. The spot that I thought was the place most people would go is a very, very, very short walk. But they would be far enough away to where if anybody came, they'd be able to get in and out without having to breathe that toxic air.
Okay. Well, that congratulations on passing this.
Yeah, this was the board. The board unanimously passed it a month ago. Okay. And then you got to give 30 days notice. So this is the 30th day. So this is the day it goes into effect.
Okay. What updates can you provide us about the hospital in general? So much has been happening. The board was dissolved at the last assembly meeting, or maybe two assembly meetings ago. And you just distributed a survey, and you've been restructuring the hospital left and right. And is there anything that has been a big development that you find interesting or worth kind of talking about at this point?
Yeah, I think the survey you mentioned was very interesting and invaluable. And we did a process in the spring where Trestle LLC was a facilitator, Lily Herwal, who came and did a series of groups. Our last one is coming up September 3rd with the providers, medical providers, and getting their input and their feedback and their information for the strategic plan that has been being worked on. And right now, the kind of Rob's vision of this was do a lot of community input, get a lot of public input. So there was focus groups, one that was with people who had gotten services there, one that was with employees, one that was with managers, one that was with community partners. And all of this information has been put together in a final report. We'll do this with the providers, and then it will go, and then someone from 4-Acre will come and do the strategic plan with the board and leadership and people in the hospital and stakeholders, et cetera, et cetera. So it's a very thorough process of getting community input. And so once that's all assembled and our new board is assembled, then that would be the next step. So that's kind of an exciting development.
And long-term. And in the immediate, what has the past week been like for you at the hospital?
Well, the big story for everybody in Sick, I think, is on Tuesday, the torrential downpours and seven landslides and then loss of life. And it was heartening and neat to see the administrator for SOCS HIT, Mount Hiram Hospital, Jeff Prater, and then Rob Allen, the CEO of our hospital, did a joint letter. And it was neat to see how the hospitals kind of came together in that way. And then on Friday, I think Search had their picnic plan and they donated the food to the recovery effort. It's a huge team, it sounds like, who's been doing search and rescue and recovery. And then they invited the hospital to join in and help in the preparation. So Joe Pepper led a group over there. So it was neat to see how the hospitals...
The preparations for what?
Food for Friday night for volunteers and people involved in the rescue effort. So it was neat to see how the hospitals came together. But it really did, I think, affect the hospital in terms of thinking emergency preparedness and thinking about, for me, how to prevent tragedies. I had somebody on Thursday call, and it was about, they were concerned about an intersection. And they said, you know, after hearing all the stuff that's happened this week, I just want to do everything possible to reduce days like this, reduce the chances of these injuries and these deaths. And I could totally see where she was coming from. And so that's why it was something like tobacco. It's something we know about, and we know that it's so harmful. It doesn't just kill the person who's using it, but the people around them. So things that we know that we can do, I think we should do to reduce loss of life and injury and pain and all the unnecessary suffering. Life is hard enough as it is without throwing on top a lot of other stuff. So that's a long-winded answer to your question about this last week. I think certainly the landslides and three wonderful people lost has been the big thing.
Okay. And last thing, as a healthcare provider, do you have any recommendations for people as they start their Monday morning, something you'd want to say to the patients listening
Well, there's a stress management class tonight at Ames, and you're certainly welcome to come. We did our first one last week, and it was great.
Anyone could drop into that class?
Yeah, you can sign in, and we'll add some new people.
It's 7 o'clock.
It's 7 o'clock.
Tonight.
Mm-hmm. At the Hames Center. So think about coming to the stress class. And anybody who is listening, I think that it has been a very stressful week, and to just do what you can to take care of yourself and take care of other people. And to see, it's been neat to see. I heard about the fundraiser on Saturday, and they raised some huge amount of money.
Over $11,000.
Yeah.
The benefit concert you're talking
about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So hearing stories like that and seeing how people are pitching in and helping out. And so in that, to pitch in and help out where you can, and also take care of yourself and take care of each other.
All right.
That would be my thought for a Monday morning.
Thank you so much, Doug Osborne, for coming in.
Yes.
And my best to Rob, and best of luck with implementing the tobacco-free zone. Today's the day. All right. Doug Osborne is the Director of Health Promotion at Sitka Community Hospital.